This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
You're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, best bits from Monday, April the 18th. Coming up, we're going to be hearing from Professor Dario Floriano, a bit concerned that robots might take over our jobs as radio broadcasters. Just how much of a reality is that as we talk about the influence of AI and robots? Also spoke to Adib Warsi. Adib's the Managing Director Platform at Careem. Why are we talking to them? Because they've just offered a new service, car rental, they've moved into now. Talking of tech, and obviously the super app that is Careem at the moment, tech was very much part of our conversation about startups in the MENA region. Latest figures from WAMDA suggesting that we are knocking on the door of record figures yet again. Triska Hamid of WAMDA joined us to crunch those numbers and talk about the impact that startups are having here in the MENA region. Plus, we had all the latest on breaking economic news coming through whilst we were on air from China. Better than expected figures from China. Big plans at Expo 2020, the new District 2020, putting together a special committee with some very well-known individuals. And we got Shadi Al-Shaho Al-Borno from ENBD to give us his thoughts on Expo, China's economy and more. We've got breaking news coming in from China. Some good news coming in from China.
Well, on the surface, good news, because GDP numbers for the first quarter are in and they're better than expected. 4.8% growth in China's first quarter GDP. But we know that China's bare minimum growth is normally 5%, and they like to be up towards 6% and maybe even more percent. So we spoke to Shadi Shah Al-Borno about this, Senior Director at Group Research at Emirates MBD. And we said, are these numbers glass half full or half empty?
Well, it certainly seems to be a story of a glass more half full than half empty, given that the GDP growth came in higher than what the markets were calling for at 4.4%. We need to be mindful that what has limited the growth potential of the Chinese economy has been the COVID-19 lockdowns that have severely curtailed economic activity across different sectors in China.
So, Shadi is in the glass half full camp, and we're happy about that. Major trading partner for the UAE and indeed the world. So, we always used to say, when America sneezes, the world catches cold. I think China, I mean, it's an unfortunate metaphor, but there's a little bit of that at the moment. We need to keep an eye on the economy of China. If you look at the oil market this morning as well, you've been covering commodities, and it's rising, isn't it? What was your last report on oil, Tom? 112-ish for Brent?
112 or thereabouts. Let's have a little look and see at the markets, the live markets at the moment. Yeah, Brent at over 112. It's fast approaching 113 at the moment, so continuing its rise.
Yeah, it was up 2.5% at the back end of last week. It's a funny trading time at the moment because it's Easter weekend. So a lot of the big global markets will be closed. Some are off for Good Friday. Today is Easter Monday. Some of them are off. But, you know, a lot of the Asian markets are open as well. So it's up 1-ish percent this morning. New York Times has put the cat among the energy pigeons. It reports that the European Union is moving towards adopting a so-called phased-in ban of Russian oil to give Germany in particular, but other countries, time to arrange alternative supplies. This is what they say. They quote Andrew Lippo of Lippo Oil Associates in Houston in Texas. A phased-in ban would force European buyers to seek alternative sources, some of which in the near term is being met by strategic petroleum reserves. So that's part of the reason that oil's gaining.
Now, we heard a little earlier on from Serena about the planned redevelopments up at Expo 2020, the Expo District 2020, as it will be known, moving forward. You've got more details on this one.
Yeah, so it's a new Supreme Committee to drive District 2020, the transition from Expo to District 2020. Look, this has been planned for years and years and years and years. The new impetus, the new news, is that over the weekend, Sheikh Mohammed, ruler of Dubai, set up a new Supreme Committee to drive it forward. And it is a powerhouse committee. Sheikh Ahmed from Emirates is heading it. But you've also got people like Hilal Al-Mari, economy and tourism here in Dubai. Her Excellency Rimal Hashimi as well, who drove Expo and is also a cabinet minister. You've got Mohammed Al-Shabani, who is a very influential figure here in Dubai. I could go on. Some serious people driving this one forward. It was already happening, but new impetus for this. Again, we've turned to Shuddy on this one to look at the economics of it all. Because from an economic perspective, we know that big events like Olympics and Expos have a mixed track record when it comes to legacy. Some knock it out the park, others, you have these pictures of abandoned stadiums in the middle of the forest or whatever it may be. So we asked Shadi, economically, what is it that the winners tend to get right?
Well, I think in terms of legacy planning for Expo 2020, it's something that the Dubai government has taken very seriously from the onset of applying to the event. There are specific plans around how different sites will be utilized. And given that it is located within the geographic sphere of new area where Dubai is developing, we can expect it to plug in into the long-term economic development plans of the city quite well.
Those are the thoughts of Shadi Shaha Elborn, the Senior Director of Group Research, Emirates NBD.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Startups here in the Middle East and North Africa region, the MENA region, have raised $299 million across 79 deals in March of this year alone. That's a 22% decrease month on month, but a 71% increase year on year. This takes the total amount raised in the first quarter of 2022 to $934 million, an increase of 38% compared to the same period of last year. Let's put this one into context if we can. Join now live on the line and live on Microsoft Teams by Triska Hamid of WAMDA. Triska, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Let's put that one into context if we can. What do these numbers tell you?
It means that the startup ecosystem is thriving across the region. It means more people are interested in startups as a new form of wealth generation. It means that the startup ecosystem is becoming a more important pillar of the region's economy.
In terms of the region as a whole, which geographies, which countries are most active?
So it is typically the UAE, Saudi Arabia and Egypt. And for the first time in the first quarter of this year, we've seen Saudi Arabia surpass the UAE in terms of both the number of deals and also the amount invested. So typically the UAE is the leader in terms of both the number of deals that we see and also the amount invested in startups. But Saudi Arabia has really been pushing for it. So in the first quarter of this year, 60 Saudi Arabia-based startups raised $314 million compared to 54 UAE-based startups that raised $264 million. It's quite a substantial gap because before it was always the UAE that was in the lead.
It's interesting. I'm looking at those numbers, and as you rightly say, yeah, UAE has long been and traditionally been a growth area, a platform for startups. Saudi Arabia, we know the amount of investment going on there. The one that's really jumping off the page for me at the moment is Egypt. It's something that Rich and I and the rest of the Business Breakfast team have talked about a lot. A lot of activity when it comes to investment startups in Egypt at the moment.
So Egypt, given its size and its 100 million population, has a lot of ideas, a lot of startups that emerge from that ecosystem. So in the first quarter, there were 51 startups that raised investment to the tune of $193 million. Because it's a far cheaper ecosystem when compared to a place like, say, Dubai or Riyadh, we don't see the sort of investment numbers that high compared to these two ecosystems. But there's so much activity, valuations are increasing in Egypt, that for the first time, actually, in March, we saw Egyptian startups rank second in terms of number of deals and value.
In terms of these numbers and the numbers you've been able to collate at WAMDA, what trends are you seeing develop when it comes to these sectors?
We're seeing a lot of money being pumped into the financial technology sector, also known as fintech. Now, these are startups that enable your online payments, your digital payments. They can be your digital bank. They could be the buy now, pay later options. This is the space that we're seeing most activity, both in terms of the number of deals that are happening and also the amount of investment. So in the first quarter, we've seen 45 fintech startups raise in excess of $370 million. Now, this is a trend that we've seen emerge over the past year, with the particularly from the start of the pandemic and also into last year, where there's been a rise in both online shopping, and so people need to pay for that online shopping some way digitally, and that's really what's been pushing the growth of fintech. But also we're seeing a greater interest in crypto. So a lot of crypto exchanges have been invested in, and there's just a big buzz around financial technology across the entire region.
In terms of trends, I mean, obviously great numbers for the beginning of 2022, March, and of course the first quarter as well. Do you predict this continuing for the rest of this year?
Absolutely. I think we're going to see more money being pumped into startups. We've never reached the almost $1 billion mark so early on in the year. So I think we're going to see perhaps another billion, at least another billion pumped into startups before the end of the year. We're going to see fintech really shooting ahead in terms of number of deals as well.
And Triska, in terms of funding, I mean, a lot of people talking about funding and the going to market during the pandemic, etc. These figures and the amount being generated at the moment certainly suggest that there is no shortage of investment out there, which can only be a good thing for businesses here in the region.
It is a good thing, but also we must bear in mind the valuations. Mm. Everyone wants to reach that unicorn status, which is a startup that is worth $1 billion. Now, whether they're actually worth $1 billion is another matter. If you have so much money in the ecosystem, then it inflates the valuations. So it's a great sign. That means more startups are being funded, but we also need to be wary of the fact that we need to balance out the valuations a bit.
Triska, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much indeed for joining us. And a big thanks to all the team at WAMDA for these latest finding startups here in the MENA region, raising $299 million across 79 deals. That was Triska Hamid.
It's interesting about the ones that are dominating this, and it's fintech, fintech, fintech. Mm. You know, the WAMDA report talks about Tabby, the buy now, pay later company. You've got the crypto exchange in Bahrain. The Magnet report says that was the biggest deal, the only $100 million plus deal over the quarter. Fintech, fintech, fintech. I mean, look, health tech is big as well. It's not the only game in town, but it's definitely the biggest game in town.
Throw a bit of ag tech in as well. It's tech, 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 isn't it?
Exactly.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-sized Business Breakfast.
Arno, who is our go-to man for all things crypto, quick off the blocks this morning as well. Heard us mention Kareem a little earlier on, did Arno? So talking Kareem, I see that Kareem Pay is looking for a director of crypto. Will I be able to pay for my morning latte with Bitcoin anytime soon? Of course I will. It is inevitable. Surely we've got to get Arno on, hasn't we?
That's quite a latte for $40,000, isn't it? Blimey.
We had someone in, didn't we, a couple of days ago that was the first bakery in the UAE to introduce crypto payments. I think you were away at the time, but yeah, it did make for that's an expensive baguette, isn't it?
It is indeed. Maybe Dogecoin is more suited to the purchasing of lattes rather than Bitcoin.
Talking of Kareem, news out that Kareem has partnered with Swap, a car rental service based here in the UAE, to bring car rental options to customers. Let's talk more about that now. Joining us live on the line, live on Microsoft Teams, is the Managing Director of Platform for Kareem, Adeeb Warsib. Adeeb, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you on board. Great to have great news coming through as well from all things Kareem. Talk to us about this deal with Swap. What was it about Swap that attracted you guys to seal the deal with them?
Yeah, let me give you a quick bit of context before I can explain this. So, you know, Kareem, I'm sure you guys know that we've set our path on a super app journey. And in that, now, if you look at the app, there are a lot of services that we run and own. Ride hailing, you can get a taxi, food, grocery, even pay, a lot of stuff coming on that soon, you know, delivery use cases. What we want to do is we want to cover pretty much a majority of anyone's, a customer's use case. Clearly, we can't run all those services by ourselves. So, you know, we have the infrastructure, we build the infrastructure. So we're now bringing in startups who are covering the other use cases. One of the use cases that clearly worked out well for us was we got PCR last year and PCR testing with JustLife. And we've learned along the way And now we've brought in a car rental use case with Swap. We clearly know, and we've talked to all our customers, there is a need for car rental in Dubai. And what Swap does, and the reason why we're partnering with them is, one, it's a young bunch of guys who are very, very hungry. More importantly, from a value proposition standpoint, it is a purely digital experience. A couple of taps, you pick and choose what car you want, and the car gets delivered at home. And that's pretty good. I mean, we've struggled, as a customer, I've struggled in Dubai finding that service. So, you know, it's a start. It's catching on steam. Customers can basically pick a car, and it's a 30-day rental, and we'll start adding a couple of shorter rental periods there as well. And the reason why it's called Swap is, over the time you want to change out your car, you can do that as well, no extra charge. And when the rental period is done, the guy comes over and takes the car. So it's pretty seamless. It's an awesome experience. And you get 25% off discount to use it for the first time. So I urge people to try it out.
In terms of pricing, Adib, is it competitive?
It is competitive. So basically any third party or a partner that we get on our platform, by default, the reason why we're getting them on is, one, we think they have a product market fit, and their pricing is competitive. More importantly, we have an understanding in the deal that, you know, through our Kadeem Plus subscription program, most of these services will give a much better pricing for our subscription customers on Kadeem. So it works out well for us.
It is fascinating, isn't it? I mean, it's fair to call the Kadeem app now a super app, surely, because it's become much more than just a ride-hailing platform. It is a platform for so many. Is that part of the policy at the moment, to help promote young, vibrant, enthusiastic businesses like Swap?
That's exactly right. Look, I mean, you know, sometimes people tend to take the infrastructure that is needed to build and scale these businesses, you know, as a default. You know, that's true in the US, that's true largely in Europe as well, but it's not so here. And the last 10 years that we've spent building out our business and building out the infrastructure, we definitely, you know, not only want to be a super app, which means we want more and more services that our customers can use, but we also want to give back to the ecosystem. And the best way to do that is, you know, take these startups, new vibrant teams that are doing something meaningful, they have product market fit, and basically put it on our platform. It's fairly easy to do. It's a couple of weeks of work. And, you know, they have access to our payment infrastructure. They have access to our geographic footprint. So it also helps them grow in the footprint that we have, which is all the way from Pakistan in the east to Morocco in the west.
30 seconds on this one, Adib. Simplification, that seems to be the thing that's coming through for me. Is that what Kadeem is about at the moment, simplifying life?
That's exactly right. You know, we truly, truly believe, and we see the opportunities across our, you know, markets, that the daily life is not straightforward. Mm. And so what we want to do is, we want to add value, bring as simplified a life that we can deliver to you, so you can focus on things that actually matter.
Great story. Really appreciate it, and really appreciate your time this morning as well, Adib. Thanks so much indeed for joining us. Adib Wasi is the Managing Director of Platform at Kadeem, who have now just partnered with Swap, a car rental service based here in the UAE. Kadeem now bringing car rental options to customers.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Okie dokie. This is the Business Breakfast, which is populated by human beings.
The distant future.
It is the distant future.
We are robots.
The world is very different. There is no more unhappiness.
Affirmative.
We no longer say yes. Instead, we say affirmative.
Yes, affirmative.
We are talking robots this morning on The Business Breakfast because a new report says robots are poised to replace millions of jobs, and this time it's manual, physical workers who are most at risk. The report was led by a fascinating guy, Professor Dario Floriano, Director of the Laboratory of Intelligent Systems at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Lausanne. It attracted a lot of attention over the past few days. So I caught up with him late last week. He was speaking at a conference. Now, he accepts that this is not the first report to look at the impact that machines could have on the job market. There have been many previous research projects, and he says many of them are very, very good. But he says mainly in recent years, they've looked at the role of automation in replacing humans in terms of software, in terms of things like artificial intelligence. But he told us that three things make this study different.
Okay, there have been quite a few studies on the risk of automation by artificial intelligence, but those studies have mainly focused on algorithms. And one unique aspect of our research is that we have been looking at also at intelligent robots, which has a physical component of work in the environment. The second innovation is that we have systematically looked at the abilities required for 1,000 jobs as listed by the U.S. Department of Labor and matched them to the corresponding abilities of robots as established by a team of experts, international experts in Europe. And the third innovation is that in addition to providing an automation risk, an updated automation risk, we also provide alternative jobs that people can take to reduce their automation risk while at the same time incurring as little as possible retraining effort.
Look, I know the first question that people are going to be thinking, whether they're driving to work, listening in their car, or sitting on their sofa watching this: how safe is my job? How risky is my industry? So give us a flavor of who are the most at risk and who are the safest.
To answer your question, I can maybe pick a couple of jobs that are on the bottom of the list. So those who have the highest automation risk for us is the slaughterers and meat packers. Those are, you know, we have super high risk of being automated. And on the top, those who have less risk are physicists.
Let me pick up on your specific point about robots, about machines doing manual work that humans do at the moment. Not artificial intelligence doing the clever intellectual stuff, machines doing manual work. Now, I mean, in some ways, we've had this for a while, haven't we? If you look in any car factory around the world, there's lots of robotic arms putting parts of the cars together. So what's changing?
Yeah, so over the past, I would say, you know, we've seen this, it's a continuous trend, but especially over the past 10 to 15 years, we have seen robots being designed differently, for example, to manipulate soft and delicate objects, objects that can move, objects that can change shape as you manipulate them. So manipulation is clearly one of the areas where robotics is making most progress, and combined with artificial intelligence and sensors that tell the robot where these objects are or how successful their gripping strategies, they can now pick up, for example, rubbish, they can pick up materials that change shape, for example, meat. Another area where physical robots are very good at is, for example, walking in difficult terrains like stairs, rubble, going through environments where there are suspended pipes. And so all of a sudden we can do things like inspection of ships, tankers, we can do inspection of oil rigs, we can have robots that pick up big boxes and put them in trucks. So these are all jobs that so far were done by humans. We have drones moving three dimensions. You can do tracking of a warehouse. Instead of putting all the articles in the same category in one spot, you can just pack them as they arrive at different spots, and you have the drones continuously monitoring where these articles are and informing the robots on the ground where they should go and pick them. So there is quite a lot of progress in the physical capabilities combined with artificial intelligence and sensing that is making these machines more effective.
Well, let me put to you a point made not by me, but by the Nobel Prize winning economist Robert Shiller. I'm reading his book at the moment called Narrative Economics. And his point is this: if you look at economic history, there are certain stories or tropes that just come around again and again and again, whether it's bubbles in the stock market. And one of them, he says, is machines are going to steal our jobs. Aristotle made this point 2,500 years ago. You had it in the Industrial Revolution in my part of the world in the 18th and 19th century, in the cotton industry, and now we're hearing it again now. And the point that Professor Shiller makes is, in the end, everything works out okay because the economy creates more jobs and in many ways, better jobs. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and maybe there will be another Nobel Prize cracking this problem and finding a solution. But you're right, automation has changed the profile of the workforce in the past. Agriculture was one, the textile industry, another one, and they created unemployment for a while, but new jobs were created. These new jobs made up for the lost jobs. So that has happened in the past. Our guess is here that yes, these machines will take this time even more jobs out, because they're not take only the low-skill jobs, but also the high-skill jobs that require cognitive precision. So more jobs will probably be automated. At the same time, with our method, we can provide retraining options for people, including people who are skilled, like, for example, like teachers, for example. They could, a lot of the teaching could be done by machines, but by reskilling and teaching things differently, you can still maintain and capitalize on unique abilities of humans that will remain for a while. So, excuse me, the bad news is jobs will be replaced. The good news is that there is an alternative with jobs that machines probably for many years won't be able to carry out.
Professor Dario Floriano, Director of the Laboratory of Intelligent Systems in Switzerland. They do some interesting research. I was looking at some of their recent research papers. This is the title of one of them. How to swoop and grasp like a bird with a passive claw for a high-speed grasping. So they're looking into robotics at a way, way advanced level. Appreciate him giving us the time to talk to us about that one.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.